Unit 11. Listening 1.
We're here in the studio with Jackie Coleman, a specialist in the history of corporate crime, and we're going to be asking her to comment on the Bernard Madoff affair. Jackie, welcome to the program. I know that you have done a lot of research into the major corporate crimes of modern times. How does the Madoff case compare to some of the big scams of the past?
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. This one is right up there at the top of the league. It's got to be the biggest investment fraud that the U.S. has ever seen. I mean, we're talking about huge sums of money here. More than $50 billion has just evaporated. To give you a comparison, Charles Ponzi, who first invented the type of pyramid scam that Bernard Madoff has pleaded guilty to running, in his case, the total amount involved would be equivalent to $100 million. And of that, the investors managed to recover significant sums. In Madoff's case, the authorities have so far only recovered about $1
billion. Well, can you tell us a little about the man behind the scandal? I mean, he doesn't appear to fit the profile of the run-of-the-mill confidence trickster, does he?
In some ways, no, he doesn't. Not at all. In fact, he was actually a highly respected figure in the Wall Street financial community and part of a very exclusive social milieu. But if you look at his career, you can see that he was atypical in other ways.
Oh, really? Why do you say that?
Well, he started out from very modest beginnings, in fact. Didn't even finish law school, which is not exactly par for the course. Not on Wall Street, where most successful people tend to be quite highly qualified. During the first part of his career, he worked as a lifeguard. And it was with the money he saved from that he set up his own stock trading company in 1960, Madoff Securities. Then in 1975, the U.S. stock market abolished the fixed commission system, and Madoff's company was able to start trading in New York Stock Exchange-listed companies.
That doesn't really explain why he was so successful, does it? Presumably a lot of other companies were doing the same thing.
Well, yes, but in Madoff's case, with the help of his brother, he was smart enough to build a computer system which allowed traders to buy and sell automatically. So that gave them a good foothold. And Madoff Securities did very well, and Bernie even went on to become chairman of the NASDAQ exchange in 1990.
So far, so good. But when exactly did things start to go wrong?
Well, I think that happened when he moved into a new line of business, asset management. Initially, that business was restricted to a small circle of investors, and the idea was to guarantee solid, regular returns that would be hedged to avoid market volatility. And that's what his investors thought he was doing, because they were getting returns of, say, 10% or 12% year in, year out. And some very exclusive individuals and institutions all wanted to be part of that. International banks, charities, Hollywood stars. What they didn't realize was that in reality, he was just making payouts by using the deposits of new investors. In other words, it was what's known as a Ponzi scheme. They trusted the guy because of his position in society, his professional background, and because of his results. Now, today, we know that they shouldn't have. But hey, everybody loves a winner, and that's what he appeared to be. Nice houses, good connections, the corporate jet and the yacht, and all the trappings of a very successful lifestyle. I mean, people were queuing up to throw their money at him, which is just amazing, especially when you realize that some of them were investment professionals themselves.
So it was all about confidence, was it?
Yeah, that's the key word. And in this case, it was more about abusing people's confidence than anything else. Apparently, nobody had any idea what Madoff was really up to. They just assumed that he had some secret formula that enabled him to trade so successfully. Oh, sure, there were some people who thought it was suspicious, even mathematically impossible, and they told the SEC exactly that. But the SEC conducted several investigations, one in 2005 and another in 2007, and neither of those revealed any major irregularities. You see, Madoff was a Wall Street star, and everybody just wanted a little piece of his magic. But the problem with magic is that it's always based on gullibility and illusion. And the curtain really came down on Bernard Madoff in 2009, when he pleaded guilty to 11 different charges, ranging from money laundering to theft and perjury.
Now that Bernard Madoff has admitted his guilt, does that mean that this is the end of the story?
No, I don't think so. This is bound to go on for several more years. I mean, there are already more than 100 lawsuits that have been filed. But what makes this different is that here we have a defendant who has come out and openly admitted his guilt, not like some other convicted fraudsters who still claim their innocence, even from prison, and who refer to incompletely documented payments when in reality they concealed or falsified information. At least Madoff isn't hiding behind that sort of euphemism. But then again, pleading guilty may also mean that we'll never know if he really acted alone or if other people were also involved.